produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in to the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. Wednesdays here on The Stash, we focus on cannabis smokers' continued good health. After breaking news, we'll hear our Garden of Wellness segment with some information about healthy munchies. Our interview today features Paul Armentano, Normal's senior policy analyst, helping us battle some rhetoric out there. Music on the program features 311 from the Hempilation album. Normal's Audio Stash supplies some great tunes every day. We'll hear our Insight segment on cannabis and mental health with Mitch Earlywine, author of the book Understanding Marijuana. In our Hemp Technology segment today, Mike Mossy looks at some household technology, and we'll wrap things up with some PodSafe music from podshow.com. All here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, West Hollywood begins the path to legalization. On Monday, the West Hollywood, California City Council approved a resolution urging the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department to make marijuana-related offenses the city's lowest law enforcement priority. It became the first city council in Southern California to request that its law enforcement agency look the other way at recreational pot use. Councilman John Duran proposed the resolution, saying that deputies have more important criminal activity to worry about than minor pot violations. Instead, he said deputies could focus on more destructive drugs like crystal methamphetamine. In recent years, San Francisco, Oakland, and Mendocino County have each enacted similar marijuana deprioritization policies, each passed by a voter initiative. This November, Santa Cruz voters will decide on a similar proposal. Marijuana law reform proponents believe that successful municipal actions will lay the groundwork for a potential statewide initiative measure in 2008. More information on our website, normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've assembled another spectacular audio magazine for you today, Wednesday. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit normal.org. Let's get to our first segment today, the Garden of Wellness. We all get the munchies, but how can the munchies work for us? Find out now. Welcome to the Garden of Wellness, our weekly segment about marijuana smokers' continued good health. This week we'll help you have a healthy munchie time. One of the inevitable, even sought-after effects of smoking marijuana is increased appetite. Different cannabinoids affect this appetite increase factor, and different strains of marijuana can have sometimes dramatic and instant effects on your stomach. And when there's a rumbly in your tumbly, almost anything can look tasty. Yet we must all be aware of America's expanding waistlines. So let's make sure that Häagen-Dazs is not a part of your daily food groups, and that a box of sugary kids' cereal doesn't serve as an early dinner. I'm sorry. to our first helpful hint today, preload your munchies. That's right, all health and nutrition experts will tell you not to go grocery shopping while you're hungry. So make sure you just don't wander in front of the fridge or pantry at 4:40 drooling for a snack. Lay out some healthy treats well beforehand. At 4:10 or abouts, pick out some snacks and set them out on a table away from the rest of the treats. Make preset munchies part of your smoking routine, and I guarantee you'll spend a lot less money on ice cream every week.
But it must be very civil of you to offer it.
Now, what are our bodies really craving? Well, water, actually. Helpful hint number two today. The best way to help control a monster case of the munchies is to drink some nice, cool water. Most of us are not drinking enough water anyway, and introducing any amount of smoke across the palate diminishes our awareness of thirst. So it's especially important for smokers to keep their water levels up. This includes fresh fruit. A cool, refrigerated apple, orange, grapes, or melon can be just the ticket to feeding a munchy craving while supplying some good hydration as well. Our last helpful hint today, avoid junk food at all costs. It may seem obvious, but it's well worth pointing out. As regular marijuana smokers, we know that we will increase our appetite and get the munchies. Having a good buzz should not take away our good judgment about healthy foods. The deep-fried Twinkies sure taste good in the moment, but there is definitely no scientific evidence telling us how many years it will take to recover from the chemicals inside one of those. Personally, the goal of eating healthy has always been a challenge. But unlike tobacco, I feel that smoking marijuana enhances my palate. The crunchiness of a carrot or the burst of a strawberry smoothie seem most enjoyable around 4:40 p.m. This has been the Garden of Wellness here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Drink some water and eat healthy today, folks. The Garden of Wellness, every week here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. You know, send in some of your favorite healthy munchy recipes. We'll post some up on our website next week and maybe read some here on the air. Send them over to podcast@normal.org. Next, we have some myth-busting interview for you. We'll speak with Normal's senior policy analyst, Paul Armentano, about the rhetoric of gateways and dead ends. Paul, thanks for joining us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash today to help clear the air about some of this rhetoric out there. Let's talk about this gateway rhetoric. I mean, is there any scientific evidence out there?
Well, I think first we have to define, you know, what is meant by a gateway. Certainly there are cases where adolescent marijuana use precedes later use of other controlled substances. However, that is not to say that the use of marijuana causes or is a sort of predictor that an individual will go on to use other drugs. We're well aware that many individuals first use alcohol and tobacco as intoxicants before they ever use marijuana, and it shouldn't be surprising that among the minority of individuals who have used intoxicants other than marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco, that some of them may have also used marijuana. That's simply representative of the fact that marijuana use is relatively prevalent in our society, while the use of other harder drugs still remains pretty much an anomaly in our society. But the reality is that for the overwhelming majority of Americans who experiment or use marijuana, it's actually a terminus rather than a gateway. And what I mean by that is the fact that if we're to look at government studies and other epidemiological data, the fact remains that most marijuana users, by time they hit their early to late 20s, actually voluntarily give up using the drug and never go on to use any other controlled substance later in life, including marijuana.
You know, many anti-marijuana advocates cite an addictive nature to pot, but compared to drugs that we understand the addictive physiology of, like tobacco and alcohol, I mean, is there any evidence of anyone having marijuana addictions comparable to tobacco or alcohol?
There's a couple ways to look at this. Interestingly enough, the Institute of Medicine in 1999, when they published their comprehensive report on marijuana and health, they looked at this specific question, and when they broke down what they were calling the dependence liability of certain drugs, including legal drugs like alcohol, tobacco, and illegal drugs like marijuana, cocaine, and heroin, what they found was that while marijuana did have what they called some mild dependence liability, it was much lower compared to most legal drugs and most illegal drugs. For example, they found that less than 10% of marijuana users ever exhibit any sort of symptoms of dependence as defined by the American Psychiatric Association. But by comparison, they found that 15% of alcohol users, 17% of cocaine users, and more than 30% of cigarette smokers statistically exhibit symptoms of drug dependence. So the question really shouldn't be, is marijuana addictive, or does marijuana or cannabis hold some sort of addiction potential? The question really should be, how does it hold addiction potential relative to these other drugs? And the fact is, when marijuana is compared to these other drugs, its addiction potential is relatively mild.
Well, thanks for joining us here today, Paul. That was definitely a myth-busting interview. Thanks again. And thanks to Paul Armentano for helping us with those questions. I want to take a moment to thank Paul. He writes most of Normal's press copy and the Normal News release each week. He does a spectacular job with a very difficult task. Paul's writing is not just news copy out there. His white papers on behalf of Normal are the primary source of information for responsible marijuana smokers like us. So thanks, Paul, for all of your creativity and hard work. We've got links to the white paper, Cannabis Smoke and Cancer, Assessing the Risk, on normalaudio-.com. Next up today, it's some truly kickin' stash music from 311 off the Normal High Times Hempelasian album with Who's Got Herb.
Dress.
Five Times Normal Hempilation album. We'll feature some PodSafe music from podshow.com later in the program. Next, it's time for our weekly segment on cannabis and mental health with Mitch Earlywine, author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Let's listen in on our segment, Insight. Welcome to Insight, a normal audio stash segment regarding cannabis smokers and mental health. Wednesdays, we speak with Mitch Earlywine, author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Earlier today, we spoke with Paul Armentano, and I'd like to ask you, Mitch, what data have you seen regarding marijuana and addiction? And is there evidence that marijuana is as addictive as, say, tobacco or alcohol out there?
Oh, certainly not. I just finished a big survey of literally hundreds of mental health professionals, and they tend to get the impression that marijuana is about as addictive as caffeine. When you look at big government surveys about users who develop problems, it's usually in that 9% range, 10% maybe. And then when you take a close look at the symptoms, it's not the kind of addiction or dependence we think of when we think of heroin or cocaine or something like that. The idea that marijuana causes withdrawal, which is one of the hallmark symptoms of dependence, was really hard to prove. And when you do finally pin scientists down about it, it's usually something like mild irritability and a craving for marijuana. It's not that you're lying around kicking and throwing up the way we think of stereotypes of alcohol or heroin withdrawal.
Now let's talk about something many patients have to deal with. There's a big difference between inhaled marijuana and the oral derivative Marinol that's available out there on the pharmaceutical market. Now tell us about the difference in physical effect between Marinol and inhaled marijuana.
The key about Marinol is it's only THC. It doesn't have any of the other cannabinoids, any of the other active chemicals that are inherent in the marijuana plant. So the impact of that chemical alone is markedly different. Also, Marinol is a pill, so you have to swallow it. It takes a long time to digest, and it's much harder to control the dosage. So people who use marijuana medicinally, when they're told to use Marinol, often end up with a dosage that's either, you know, just too intoxicating and strange for them, or doesn't really do the job for what they're looking for, and takes an hour and a half to 3 hours to have any impact, when inhaled marijuana can have an impact within literally seconds.
So when you actually take a Marinol pill, what happens inside your body?
Essentially, your stomach has to break all that down, then your liver, and then it has to get into your bloodstream, so it takes quite a while for that to happen. And then in most marijuana plants, there are other chemicals that would moderate any of the effects of THC. So another cannabinoid might keep some of the more extreme or odd effects of THC to a minimum, whereas when you've just got THC on its own, there are no buffers. There's no natural things that could interfere with some of the intoxicating qualities of that.
Mitch, do you think that there's a big difference in the mental health of those who take Marinol as opposed to smoked marijuana?
Well, the dosage alone is a big issue. It's really hard to get Marinol in smaller doses. So it's not a tablet that you can break apart. It's actually suspended in a gel kind of thing. So it's hard to get the dosage where you want it to be. The expense is outrageous. I mean, marijuana can be, you know, extremely inexpensive if we're grown, you know, without all these legal problems. And unfortunately, Marinol pills can run $13 per individual pill. So it could really be a big difference on that. As far as mental health is concerned, the intoxicating effect of a large Marinol pill would, you know, sneak up on you and be really debilitating, in contrast to what might be a very mild or even, you know, absence of any psychoactive effect with a small dose of inhaled marijuana that might alleviate symptoms like nausea or vomiting.
So it seems like this is why so many patients are loath to take the Marinol pills.
I can't blame them. I mean, it's really a much more dramatic effect. They don't know this chemical at all. It's really, without that experience, you don't know what to anticipate. You can't plan your day. It's a real drag, whereas you know, a small hit off the vaporizer could be a really minor impact on your way of thinking, but a really dramatic and wonderful and rapid impact on your nausea or other symptoms.
Well, thanks again for joining us again today, Mitch. Mitch Earlywine, author of the book, Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. Mitch is also on Normal's advisory board. This has been Insight, our weekly look into cannabis smokers' mental health. We'll speak with Mitch Earlywine, who is a Normal Advisory Board member, on issues regarding cannabis and mental health. Now it's time to check in with Mike Mossy and a hemp technology update.
Mike Mossy, and this is Hemp Technology Update. When talking about hemp technologies, you will find many fall into the category of do-it-yourself, or DIY. One such technology, based in the craft of crochet, is a replacement for the kitchen sponge. The typical kitchen cellulose sponge harbors many dangerous bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella. Cellulose sponges also break down and fall apart after a month or two. My wife and I had designed and made 6x6-inch exfoliating washcloths for the shower, made from hemp twine, and gave a few to friends, and also sold them with their homemade soaps. I had been disappointed with our kitchen sponge one day when I thought about our shower hemp scrubber. We decided to give it a try in the kitchen to clean dishes. Hemp has inherent antifungal and antibacterial properties, making it seemingly made for the job. It is now 7 months later, and our crocheted hemp kitchen scrubber is in great shape. In fact, it doesn't really look any different than when we first started using it. All it needs is rinsing and wringing out when it's done being used, and left to dry suspended on a rack. Hemp's uses are practically endless, as you will witness in upcoming segments. All without possibly hazardous chemicals and the destruction of our valuable planet. More information about hemp scrubbers can be found at fuzzyspaceoutpost.com. That's fuzzyspaceoutpost.com.
Here's some hemp technology for around the home today on the Audio Stash. We've got links for more info about those scrubbers at normalaudiostash.com. Let's wrap things up today with some pod-safe music. Please be advised, there are some explicit lyrics in the next track, so listen further at your own risk. This next tune is from spoken word artist Rachel Kahn.
I know this. This I know. All that I have, all that is me, resides inside my poetry. And every time I write a rhyme, it might be the line that sets mine free. And also, I know that I don't know shit. And the more I know, the more I realize it. I know that for all the pain I've cried, there's the exact same balance of joy on the other side of that coin. Join with the thinnest slip of membrane. Same goes for crazy and sane. Truth and lie, answer and why. Because I know this. This universe operates with a divine tug of war, teeter totter, bringing order and balance like the tide does to water. Like I know that each wave rolls back to the sea, retreating from me into deep green eternity. And I know that I am free. Well, at least in my mind, if I wanna be. I know that some things sound good to me in theory, but in point of fact suck ass in actual practice, like communism and pornography. I know that it's impossible to really know where anyone is coming from, so who are we to judge them? I know that some things are so dope they transcend our category, and it's important to see the glory in the ordinary. Like I know that there's Nag Champa and then there's all other incense. I can't see putting Earl Grey up against any other tea. Lash Out? It's not even on the same plane as other mascaras comparatively, and I know that there's R&B and then there's Otis Redding. I know that most things are much greater than the sum of their parts, and that that's the real definition of art. Like, brownies are good, and so is whipped cream, but you put them together and it's this whole fucking chemical other thing. Like, Lennon and McCartney singing harmony, like, masturbating as compared to an orgy. I know that everything within this surface glimpse of reality is infinitely simple and perfectly complicated, and I know that being jaded and over it is way overrated. And that the colors of this world only seem faded in direct relation to the darkness with which your mind's eye is shaded. And you made it that way. And you can choose to change your vision's prismic range today. And I know that you gotta help a friend who's down. And I know that no matter where you end up, you're still from your hometown. And I know you gotta know how to listen to the sound of your own heartbeat in the dead quiet of night sometimes. And I know that can be so frightening, but I also know that the deepest darkness is always the most enlightening. And I know that fresh cold cantaloupe tastes like the perfect first kiss. And I know that Lao Tzu and Moses and Muhammad and Buddha and Jesus and all those dudes knew some deep ass shit. But I also know that we all hold the world's eternal truths in our heart's deepest pit. It's because I know that we are made of the same stuff as the sun and moon and far the star, and all that we are is manifest energy, and that we already have everything we could ever need if we could just begin to see clearly. And I know that the world will continue to spin, and I know that the world will continue to spin, and I know that one day you will let me in. And we will begin to love in a fashion I couldn't fathom existed. And we will laugh at the fact that we ever resisted this blissful togetherness. And the sex? Well, it'll be off the charts. Cause we'll both be super freaky, but we'll be fucking from the heart. Cause our loving will be a something where the whole is much greater than the sum of its parts. Cause we're artists after all. So what else would fate have us make besides art? And I know that outside of this space-time frame, we are one and the same. We're a part, not a part. So I know I can wait patiently for it to start. And far out I may seem to be, and maybe you see me as wacky, but baby, the fact be that I am a poet, and like all true poets do, I'm mainlining the spiraling spherical truth of the universe, turning it out and into lyrical wholeness. And I know this, and I know this. This I know, this I know.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Paul Armentano, Mitch Earlywine, and Mike Mossy for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.